If you have your Bible, let's look in the book of Hebrews this morning, chapter 11. Something I've thought a lot about several times of teaching, never did, and I just got on it. And anyway, we're going there this morning. Y'all pray for us. The Lord would help us. If he don't, well, then won't be anything done anyway. I want to look on the subject of faith. Of course, this is known as the faith chapter in the Bible. And we'll look at this, and hopefully, we can have a little better understanding of our faith when we get done. I'm going to read a few verses there in chapter 11, and then we'll talk a little bit. Don't believe it'll be too long, so we got started early. We get done early, and y'all have time to take your nap. Maybe. Just depends on how it goes, don't it, Thurman? I don't know. I think faith, our faith is something we don't think a whole lot about, but I think it's something we ought to think more about, give it more consideration and thought in our heart and mind. I think, too, it's something that's not very well understood. Something, maybe if you look at it in the wrong way, it's hard to understand. But the Bible says in verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. For it, by the elders, obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before he translated him, he had this testimony that it pleased God. Like I said, I want to teach on the substance of faith. Have you ever thought about it? Substance of faith. What it consists of. What is faith? Where does it come from? So, the Bible has a lot to say about faith. I believe faith is mentioned. I had this wrote down. I didn't go back and check it. Studying for this, I assume it's probably right. Mentioned two times in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, faith is mentioned 245 times. It has a lot to say about faith. I'm just going to a few verses of Scripture concerning faith that I wrote down. I'm going to read to us before we get started. In Ephesians 2:8 says, by grace are you saved through faith. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please God. 2 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith. Speaking of saints, us. Romans 3:28, we're justified by faith. 1 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. That's just a few verses in the New Testament concerning faith. But I believe it's enough to give us the idea that it's important in a believer's life. Now, let me read you this. I had this wrote down too from before study. I thought it was pretty good, so I wrote it down again. I want to read it to you. Having to do with faith. I don't know where I got this at. Really don't, but anyway, I'll read it. It says, it expresses a state of mind. Think about our faith now. What is faith? It expresses a state of mind which is demonstrative of love to God and affection for his cause and character, of reconciliation and friendship, and is therefore that state to which he has been graciously pleased to promise pardon and acceptance. In Romans 12 and 3, the Bible says this, God has dealt every man a measure of faith. Now, I think we all understand and know, if you know much about the Scripture, or you wouldn't have to know a lot about the Scripture, I think, if you just thought about it, that this is not talking about saving faith. This is a general faith that every man God has given, which would indicate it comes by birth. I just sit around and meditate and think about this, and I'm going to just share that with you. Do you know, have you ever thought about society operates on faith in general, a general faith? Of course, that has nothing to do with saving faith. But God has given every man a measure of faith, and I think that's what he's talking about. If you just stop and think about it a few minutes, everything evolves on faith. I mean, if you're going on a trip to Florida, Brother Rose, and you travel a lot, when you look at that map or GPS or whatever, you've got faith that that's going to take you there. And so on. You could just about apply that to anything that you do. So that's the general faith that God's given man. But it seems like, and I think it's right, if you study it out, that God also gave man the ability to expand that faith. How do you do that? I think we're all here this morning as an example of that. If you're here and you're really saved by the grace of God, then I think you're an example of expanding the faith that God gave you. I know we talk about, and I thought about this morning as I was just sitting in the chair and lay back and meditating, thinking about this. We say, Brother Rose, Brother Lowell, and all of us in here, we say, and it's our belief, that we can't be saved unless God deals with our heart. I think that's true. I mean, I believe that, and I think that is a fact. But what leads to that? What leads to God dealing with a man's heart? Now, if you study the Scripture, you find that God's no respecter of persons. And I have spent a lot of time thinking about that. You probably have too. But what leads to that? Well, I'm of opinion, and I think we all could agree that if you exercise the life that you have, God will give you more light. Would you agree with that? I think that's right. Now, I also believe this, in just thinking about this and studying it. Mankind in general, we have this general faith, but we also have the ability to go on with that, or we have an ability to extend that. I think Rahab the harlot was a good example of that. Think about it. When the spies come into town, she extended gracious deeds toward them. And she done that because she chose, I think, to extend that faith. Now, she heard. If you study the Scripture, she heard about the Hebrew nation. She heard a lot about them. But I'm just of the opinion that she wasn't the only one to hear that. She wasn't the only one to hear that, Brother Lowell. But according to the Scripture, she's the only one that chose to extend that faith. Now, that being said, in 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves. See where you be of the faith. To me, that places responsibility on the individual to do that. Examine your faith. See where you're at. Then it says, so then faith cometh Romans 10 and 17 says, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Rahab heard, may not in the sense that we've heard, but she heard and she believed. She had the ability to do that. I think about society in general. A lot of people have heard. A lot of people chose not to extend that faith. A lot of people have heard. And a lot of people chose to extend their faith. Now, I may be off on this. If I am, I'd be willing to listen to you if you want to straighten me out. But I think I'm right, Brother Lowell. We have a responsibility as people, as a society. We have a responsibility to extend our faith. Every individual is responsible. I won't be able to point my finger at you and accuse you for my responsibility that I neglected. We're all responsible. Faith is, it holds every aspect of time, past, future, present, has to do with that. Think about that. Examine yourself. See where you be in the faith. Now, notice that says the faith. I thought about this. We have a personal faith. Then we have the faith. I got to examining that a little bit, and in Galatians 6 and 10 talks about the household of faith. The faith. We have gathered here today. And when we come together, we represent the faith. Are you with me? But then because we have embraced saving faith, we come together, we represent the faith that the Bible speaks of. So then, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. That's the reason it's important for us as God's people. And you know, a lot of people, and I never was of this mind or anything like that, and I don't know what anybody in here is, but you can't, we are to be disciples. We're to be representatives, and we are to present the gospel when opportunity presents itself. And I kind of believe only when opportunity presents itself. And I think you just have to understand that, discern that. But we're not to pressure people, not to try to make them, because you can't do that. It don't work. It's an individual thing. It's there. But we are to, that's why it's important to get the gospel to them, that they might hear the word of God. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we need to be mindful of that as God's people, that we are to be representatives of God and the Word of God. And we're to, upon opportunity, to present that to people. Faith is something that, I hadn't thought about this, but I want to mention it, and I believe it's right. It requires nurturing. It requires cultivation. The Bible speaks of weak faith. I don't have any scripture for that, but I read it today, this morning. But faith can grow weak. It can get weak as a result of not having the nurturing that it needs and the cultivation that it needs. And we as God's people, we need to do that. I just thought about this verse of scripture one place at a favorite place of mine in the scripture, and I just thought about it. It fits in real good right here. And it says, besides this, giving all diligence. Everybody understands what that term means, don't they? It means putting it up on the front of your priorities, giving all diligence, add to your faith. I said, add to your faith. Like I said, faith needs to be nurtured. It needs to be cultivated. It needs to be built on. And it needs to be added to. And so add to your faith virtue. And if you read this, you can understand some of the properties that it's in faith. Add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness charity. It says to add those things to your faith. For me and you to do that. It goes on to say, for if these things be in you, the importance of it. For if these things be in you and abound, and that indicates that it could be there, Brother Rosa, and not abound. I'll let Thurman take that up next week. But he says, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall need be barren, shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the Word of God. Faith needs to be nurtured. It needs to be cultivated. It needs to be built on. If you don't do that, you'll end up with weak faith. There's also another kind of faith in the Scripture that the Bible mentions. It's wavering faith. Not too stable. That's what wavering is. It's not grounded like it ought to be grounded. And of course, we know that occurs through reading Bible, Bible study, going to church, listening to good preaching, being around people of like faith, and fellowshipping together with them. And doing these things, we strengthen our faith, and it becomes where it's not wavering. That wavering faith kind of goes along with the place there in the Bible. It says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, Brother Lowell. You ever know anybody like that? I have. Just, can't put no confidence in them. Is that the kind of Christian you'd like to be? Somebody that, you don't know, Brother Rose, whether they're going to be there one day or the next day. A lot of people like that, I think, more all the time in the time we live in. But anyway, it needs to be nurtured, cultivated. But and another point I wanted to talk about this morning about faith, and it's over in the book of Jude. I think the more reason that we need to think about what I'm trying to teach this morning is the time that we live in. Let me see if I can't find this. I just thought about it. Jude's one of my favorite books. It don't pat us on the back too much, but it does tell us what we need and where we're at, where we're going. In the third verse, it says, "Beloved, when I give all diligence to writing to you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write to you and exhort you to earnestly contend for which faith? The faith. The collective unit. The faith." And he says we need to earnestly contend for the faith. I think that's more true today than it's ever been, even when this was written. Could probably maybe have been directed at the time we live in more than any other time. He goes on and tells us why. Contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and denying the Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. One reason we need to contend for the faith is because of the opposition that we have. Somebody if the Lord don't come back, and he is coming back, I'm not saying he's not coming back, we don't know when, do we? We don't know how much more time's going to go on. I do know this. Looking around, looking at myself, we're getting on up there. Brother Lord, somebody's got to carry the torch on. That worries me a whole lot, don't you? Oh, I know there's a lot of churches. There's a church on every corner. But true faith needs to be carried on, needs to be extended. And here, the writer Jude says, we need to earnestly contend for the faith. Earnestly contend. I don't know about you, but I don't know where I can put myself in that category or not, of earnestly contending. I doubt that I could. But that don't excuse me, does it? Then faith can be tried. Our faith will be tried. I'm thinking of a scripture. I wish I could. Let me see if I can't find it. I did. It's in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. It says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, yet rejoice, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's your faith, our faith. Our faith will be tried. We need to understand that we have a faith, and God does not sit around watching over us every day and make sure we're not going to be tried. As a matter of fact, quite the contrary. It says that if you read this and I think cipher it out, it says that our trials of our faith are precious. Why is that? Because being tried, once you overcome the temptation and trial, you're stronger. So we grow through trials and temptations. And sometimes something ain't going our way. Well, the whole world's turned against us. And we get on a pity party, get to feeling sorry for ourselves, and that's not the right way to go, is it? We need to look at it as a trial of our faith. And we're going to come out stronger on the other side. Strong faith. Have you ever, I've known a few people in my lifetime that I just felt like, they was dear and true saints of God. And if you've known anybody like that, you know that there wasn't much come along that shook their faith. They stood in the face of adversity and rejoiced and realized that when the trial's over, everything will be all right. God's still the same. He's not changed. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. We need to look to him, trust him, and we need to be giants in the field of the faith. I think we need to understand that we're put here for a reason. God extended it to us for a reason. I know we're going to heaven. I'm looking forward to that. But I believe that we have some other things that we can do, Brother Rose, before we get there. And the only way we can accomplish that is to nurture and build up our faith. And by doing that, and boy, I feel like a hypocrite standing up here saying this, but it's true. We need to build our faith up and know where it's at, know where it stands. It's in a God that's unshakable. Our faith is in a God that don't change. We change every day. And we're back and forth sometimes, maybe more than that. But our faith is in a God that you can put a trust in. And you can have an assurance that when it's all said and done, we're going to come out on the winning side. And I think if we understand that part of it, it'll strengthen the other part. We're living in a terrible time. I thought about when Brother Rose was praying, he was praying for our nation. And we sure need that. We need it. But I think probably more than that, the true church of the living God, we need a greater faith, a greater determination in our heart. I'm going to tell you something, folks. When a homosexual can run for president and his whatever can stand beside of him and he can give a speech and 60%, I heard that 60% of our nation embraces that. I don't know if that's right or not, but that's what I heard. Wouldn't surprise me anymore now. See, we've come to the point now where there ain't nothing married nothing. You know, the Bible, it speaks of calling good evil and evil good. We've arrived. And when we come to that place, I know it might be somebody in here say, you ought not say that. But when we come to that place, we're in bad shape, Brother Lowell. Where are the people of the true faith? Of this faith that we're talking about this morning. You get over in James and you can find a lot, and I'm not going to get on that this morning because it's a different area, but it's still Bible and it's still true. I thought about this. James says, show me your faith and I'll show you my works. And I also thought about another aspect of that. That's manward side. The only way that you can see my faith is through my works. Amen? But you think about this, and I thought about this morning. It was maybe not new to me, but it was something that I don't think about much, and it may have even been new to me. I show you my faith by my works, but I don't have to show God my faith by my works. The Bible says he sees our faith. He knows our faith. And here's the thing about it. He don't have to look at our works to know our faith. And he knows all about it. Brother Rose, he knows if it's genuine. He knows if it's real. He knows the purpose and thought and intent of our heart. And sometimes I kind of get the idea, and I might be out here by myself in this. I kind of, in the back of my mind, I guess, maybe, I don't know. I kind of feel like maybe I'm pulling one over on God every now and then. You know, maybe I slip this by him. But, I mean, really, I know better than that. But we're not. You can't. See, he knows all things. I had somebody tell me one time, let's do this or do this, and nobody won't know about it. Did you ever have anybody tell you that? Well, unbeknown to this person that told me that, she had no idea of her. But anyway, you know, I thought, in my response, and boy, it was a good response, and I'm glad, thank God for it, I think about it a lot. I said, there ain't one problem with that. God will know. And that took care of that, Brother Rose. Took care of it real good, Brother Lowell. Didn't have to worry about it no more. And he does know. He knows our faith. He knows all about us. And the thought comes to my mind, since he does know us, what's he think about us? I said us. How'd you feel about how we're conducting ourselves? How'd you feel about what we're doing with our faith? Are we doing pretty good? I hope we are. Sobering thought. Our faith. Well, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We walk by faith. We're saved by faith. We're kept by faith. We're justified by faith. Therefore, we ought to hold fast the profession of our faith. I'd say we're faith people. Faith is something when you think about it, you can't hardly get a hold of it. It's kind of, I guess, abstract. You know, if you study it out, you can get a better understanding of it. I have thoughts like sometimes, why did God put us here? I know what's on our mind most of the time. I really do. I know what's on my mind, and I got news for you, same thing's on yours. Most of the time, what's on our mind is, well, this won't hurt too bad because it's not really bad, but most of the time what's on our minds like our family, our children, the welfare of our family, welfare of our children, nothing matter with that. But then it has a tendency to go on out. What can I do to satisfy this fleshly body of mine, Brother Lowell? Have I got enough money to buy something that would make me feel a little better? And I'm going to tell you something. Some of you older than I am in here, but I'm doing all right. And I've been around long enough to know, and I've tried a lot of those things, Brother Lowell. It don't work. It's a deception of the mind. You see, you think, man, if I just had that, Brother Rose, if I just had me a new tractor, I could run a lot better. Or anything. I'm just using that. I just thought about Brother Rose. Or if I had me a new house, or Brother Thurman, I've been there a lot. I'd be a lot happier, or I'd feel better, or maybe somebody else will feel better about me. That's the way we think. That's where our mindset's at most of the time. You'll have to agree with me. But there's going to come a day, folks, when none of that matters. And that's what we're to be mindful of as God's people, that even though we have those desires, and I know God put that in us as human beings, and you know you can do some of those things and it not be the baddest thing there was. But it has to do with the priorities. What's the priority of our life? What do we get up thinking about of the morning? We ought to get up thinking of the morning. Thank you, Lord, for another day you give us. But I'm going to confess this morning, I don't do that every morning. There's something else in there. And it's good. Honesty is good for the soul, and it's also good for our faith. I just feel like, in thinking about this and studying about it, that we need to give a little more attention to our faith and our reason for being able to get out of the bed in the morning and things that's more important in life than just having something. Would you agree with that? I know you will. Now, probably in a few days, I'll forget all about what I've said. In less days than that, you'll forget about what I've said. But here's the thing about it. That don't excuse me and it don't excuse you. We're still responsible. So let's try to do something a little bit unordinary and give it a little thought tomorrow and the next day and in the days to come. I tell you what I do. I make you a promise. If we'll do that, it'll make us a better person. It'll make us a better Christian. It'll make us a better witness. It'll just help things all the way around. And I promise you it'll do that where all these other things, houses, cars, boats, and golf clubs, and let me think of something that the women likes. What helped me out a little bit? There you go, Wayne. That'll work. Makeup, hairdos. I don't want to be one-sided in this. All those things I mentioned, most of them. But anyway, y'all know what I'm saying. It'll help us out a lot more than those things will in the days to come. We all got room for improvement.